Hey, you're listening to the Prime Culture Podcast. This Prime Culture is for the dreamers, the schemers, and the believers. We're here to introduce a whole new generation to the abundant life. We're here for the prime of our lives.
Welcome back.
Welcome back
to the Prime Culture Podcast, where Jesus is King.
And we are missing Felipe.
No relationship is safe if it's not of the Lord. Oh my gosh, man. Welcome back to the pod. It's just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Me and you, baby.
22 years plus 5 years
dating. It's been the two of us. Yeah, we're missing our chaperone.
Yeah. He decided to take the night off.
We're missing our chaperone. Yeah, he's Pastor Felipe is on strike. He said if we don't give him a raise, he's not going to be on the podcast anymore.
He was so tired of getting paid in gum.
Yeah, so. He said I don't.
Whatever.
He said stop paying me in pesos. Right. Like,
what did you say? 22 years plus five years dating. I have been with you longer than I've been with my parents. So if you don't like how I'm acting, it's your fault. Raise me better.
I should have raised you better. That's the truth. I should have raised you better. No, we're missing Pastor Felipe. At the time of this podcast recording, we are in the week of Abundant Conference.
While he is preparing for his world tour.
He is preparing for Abundant Worship second album recording.
Yay.
And so we're super excited. So not sure when that drops. Kevin, do you know when that drops by any chance? No? Yeah, like the actual album? I'm sure it's going to take a while. Maybe it'll drop around Easter or something, but there's a lot of editing, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, neither here nor there. But let Pastor Felipe know that you love him. But it's me and you, kid. We're talking today. I'm super excited to talk about what we've been talking about. We kicked off Culture Night on January 16th. Is that what it was? It was awesome.
Yeah. I really think if you miss Culture Night, you need to go to our YouTube channel and just really watch and listen to the message. It was so good.
Brother Andrew Fung.
I was just really blessed by it. And I really believe like it was so challenging that even if you were there, you need to go back and sit through it and let the Lord continue to convict.
Yeah, man. So hey, Brother Andrew Fung, how do I do it? Like, we're going to link it right here. Just kidding. But that's like at the end, right? Or can we do it right now? I can do it right now at the end. Got it. Okay. Andrew's looking at me like, bro, do you even YouTube, bro? Like, what is wrong with you, dog? He's like, come on, boomer. Bruh, that's funny to me. I think the fact that it was our kickoff service for the year, the challenge was set.
Yeah.
The standard was set. The direction of the year was set. And so if you were there, you'll remember all of this. But if you weren't there, well, then praise God, let me help you out. the theme for the year, we pray every year about where the Lord is taking us. We said that in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Right side up, right side up. And what that means, simply put, I want you to remember this. And for those of you that take notes while you're watching the pod, thank you for taking this seriously. That means a lot to me. Every once in a while, I get a DM from people like, man, the pod was awesome. And they have like a notebook or their journal, which, by the way, can I just say, send that to us, man. I love seeing that. It encourages me.
It really does. Because a lot of the times you're hoping, is anybody out there?
For real. Is this thing on?
And you know? And it's really encouraging to our hearts to know that like, oh my gosh, somebody's paying attention and somebody's life is being changed.
100%.
So that definitely encourages.
100%. So like, what do we mean by right side up? Well, we live in a culture that's upside down, right? Like culture is upside down. It's not a new thing. It's not a surprise. Jesus predicted it. The apostles prophesied it. The Bible warns us of it, that there will be a time where humanity and civilization calls evil good and good evil.
Right.
Romans 1, man, men will be lovers of themselves more than they love God. They'll love the creation more than the creator. They'll love their desires more than their service and discipleship to the Lord.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we just really, really confronted at Culture Night with the right side up theme. And, you know, I just want to let us know, like, we're going to have this tone. Like, this is the energy we're bringing in 2026, mm-hmm. that we're going to challenge anything that is not part of God's wise and loving design. Yeah. And so a life that is finding its way right side up is a life that it's finding its proper place in God's wise and loving design. And I just want to remind us all, man, that God has a wise and loving design for every single detail of your life. What I love about God, Diana, is that he's a detailed God. He's an intentional God. The scripture says this, that a leaf doesn't fall to the ground without him knowing it. The scripture also says that he knows all the hair on your head, every strand, every detail. And you know, that's not just about God being nosy and wanting to know how much hair you have, but it's about him saying, hey, I'm aware. Nothing happens in your life without my awareness and without me being involved. And so I think with that, we can trust that God has a plan, that God has a direction, God has a purpose, right? And so there is a culture that's pushing against it, saying, no, there's a better way, there's a different way, and there's a different king, there's a different system. And really what that has created is an inverted world, right? And one of the things that I said at Culture Night that really, really has challenged me is that you cannot have truth, right? One of the things that I want you guys, as you're processing the idea of getting your life right side up in 2026 and beyond, and here's the truth, we all need to get right side up. Can we just pause there and be honest about that?
Yeah, we're not there yet. Well, and we won't be.
That's it right there. You know, what you just said reminded me of Ephesians 1:6, being confident in this one thing, that the one who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ, right? Which what that tells me what? Hey, God's still working on me, right? God is still refining. God is still developing, maturing, growing. And I will not be a perfected, complete work until I'm standing before the Lord in my glorified state, right? So while I am on the earth, there is a plan that is being revealed and being unveiled and being implemented into my life, right? So I think that's a big idea right there, that none of us are a finished work, right? You know, I think I said it this way at Culture Night, if I'm still breathing, God's still working, right? If I'm still alive, God's not done. If I'm not dead, God's not done. I think that's the way Elevation Worship says it, right? And so like for all of us, we're all a work in progress, every single one of us. So right side up applies to all of us, to every aspect of life. And so one of the things that we're gonna focus on throughout the whole year is getting the practical aspects of your life right side up. I'm really excited for February because we're talking relationships.
Yeah, it's always a fun subject.
I love it.
And the prime subject for every single young adult.
Oh, would you think so? You think everyone's like caught up in like their love life?
Yes. I feel like that,
yes,
that is their main concern. Gosh, even when you hit 16, 17, until you find the one, that's all you're worried about.
And this isn't the subject for this pod. We'll record it in the next episode. Mm-hmm. But do you believe that there's the one, quote unquote?
I don't. Do
me
you?
Either. No. But like, no, I don't believe that. I think that's silly. We'll talk about that later, though. I got that's shots fired. People are like, what are you talking about, Pastor Cruz? The guy I'm dating right now. He's the one. Well, he's the one right now.
He's the one right now.
But I'm going to leave you alone.
I'll talk to you again next
week. Yeah, we'll ruin your relationship next week on the next episode, man. But I wanted to talk about a concept that we had that we introduced at Culture Night, which is the concept of idols. You know, I think when we were growing up, we always thought of idols and idolatry as like these pagan occult
images.
Yeah, these images, these statues, which by the way, would you say this trophy one is an idol?
It could be.
This is me just being grateful, right? Who am I that I keep running through your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you.
No. But when
I'm just grateful for the number one spot, baby. Let's go.
When I was growing up, I would consider like when I would think of an idol, that's what I would think of, like the Virgin Mary or Buddha.
Did you
or,
just call out a religion?
No. Dang. I'm just saying an image. No,
I'm teasing you, Diana. I'm teasing you.
Any graven image.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's how it was taught to
for
us.
For sure. We were
so
taught that. Yeah.
That's what I thought it was. Sure. I honestly didn't realize what idols were until like recently, maybe even 5 years ago. I didn't realize that that's what it was.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. I'm the same way. I always thought it was a graven image, a statue, a shrine. And now that's not to say it isn't, but at its core, and I want you guys to take this thought with you, an idol is anything, okay? Anything that replaces God or anything that you trust God, obey God, Anything that you trust more, obey more, or lean into more than you do God, especially when it promises you identity, comfort, satisfaction, or security.
Are there any idols in your life you feel comfortable talking about that maybe you feel like you've overcome?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think so. I think for me, it's always been the idol of comfort and provision and having a sense of a very human sense of security. The Old Testament warns against or gives this statement. It's not by sword nor by spear. It's not by strength nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I think that in my own life, because of now, here's an interesting thought. And these are things I can't get into at a culture night. Like, I'm going through my notes, which by the way, I have my Bible, you know, cause I was going to be like mad spiritual on this. Like these can, I don't know if you can zoom in on this, Andrew, but like, these are like my notes, right? Like these, this right here, like this is my notes for culture night, right? Right here. And I like this right here produces an hour's worth of teaching. Right.
If you just stick to that.
Well, I do my best to just stick to this. So there's a lot of things that I didn't get to that I'm glad I'm able to get into this. Right. So I think that for me, there was a lot of there was an idol of having a sense of security, which was founded or anchored or justified by things that I went through. And that's one thing that I really wasn't able to get into at Culture Night, which is every good idol has a good origin story.
Okay.
I can explain why.
Or a good intention. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It comes from good intentions. It comes from really just good desires, good motivation. But the truth is, for years of my life, I mean, as recently as like 7-8 years ago is when I really started, you know, being challenged by the Lord to like, hey, do you trust me or do you trust mammon? Which is, the word mammon is something that the Lord uses in the Gospels. And he says, you can't love God and love mammon at the same time. Mm-hmm. You can't trust God or mammon. The word mammon is man-made security, man-made strength, man-made provision, man-made privilege, right? You cannot trust God and trust mammon. You cannot serve God and serve mammon at the same time. A man cannot love two masters. Mm-hmm. He's going to end up hating one, right? And for me, secretly, I had a shrine to mammon, to a sense of security that I could create.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, I really haven't been doing this a lot in the last year and a half, 2 years, but I don't know if you remember, like one of the first things before I even acknowledged the Lord, I would wake up and check our bank accounts every morning. I would check our checking accounts, our saving accounts.
That's so stressful.
It's just, this. Oh, I just, gosh. I would.
This no, is for, me. I hope. Bing,
bing. In Jesus' name. Jesus paid it all.
No, I'm not checking the bank account.
Oh my
God. We're trusting in Jesus. It's all good.
Today,
that's not my struggle.
Today, Diana sends me a text message. Her debit card wasn't working. And then she sends me a text. My debit card had just started magically working. I was like, no, I turned it back on is what happened. I'm teasing. I promise. I would never do that to you.
I know you wouldn't.
I would never do that to you. Have I thought about it? Maybe. But I would never do that to you.
And I wouldn't even know. That's a problem. I have identity theft.
That's crazy.
I trust you.
Yes. And I appreciate you trusting me. I would wake up and check bank accounts. I would check investment accounts, retirement accounts, all of that.
No
I would
wonder just, you're always grumpy. I would be grumpy too.
Yeah. You know what's curious, what's crazy is that a lot of times it came from that, like sometimes when the market was volatile or whatever, it would absolutely impact me, right? Why? Because an idol is something that you find security in, identity and satisfaction in. Yeah. And I think that would probably be one of the strongest spaces of or shrines that I would bow at. The need for, I feel secure. I got this.
Gotcha.
Right. I think another one, and man, Pastor Jared and I were just talking about this today, significantly, because last night, I got an invitation to a conference that a couple of years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, this is crazy. What a big deal. Cause it's like a internationally really just big conference, in which, praise the Lord, you know, I'm praying about whether or not I'm going. And so he asked me, he's like, hey, well, what do you think? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to pray about it. I said a couple of years ago, I would have jumped at it just because of, if I can just be honest with you guys, and hopefully you don't judge me too harshly, but just because of the clout of the platform, like, ooh, man, like I can say I'm one of those guys that's on this platform. But now that really doesn't move me. I'm grateful for every platform that the Lord opens for us and that Prime Culture and Abundant Church and you and I and our family get to walk onto. It's an honor to be able to represent our church, our city, our community, our young adults, right? That's awesome. but a couple of years ago, you and I have walked through this. It would have been almost kind of like this sense of arrogance where an idol or a shrine for me was wanting to feel significant, you know, cause I'm not going to tell you my whole life story, but part of my story is I literally come from nothing. And I've always felt like I needed to prove myself and I needed to fight for my position. And I needed to like always check people and let them know I'm here because I deserve to be here. And I'm, you know, I made my way here. And so that was an idol, man. Like that was a thing for me.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit has really done a work.
Talk about it.
Yeah, with humility and just gentleness and you knowing that your identity is in Christ and not anything else.
Sure.
And good thing you, like, I'm pretty level-headed, so I've never fed into that ego for you, which not I think
ever.
Helps.
Not ever. Not one time. Not one time. You're, yeah.
Yeah, so.
You've never, ever. I'm kidding.
Honestly, I think that's why I'm supposed to be here, because I think it helps if I was the opposite, like, oh yeah, you're the greatest, blah, blah, blah. I think that'd be kind of difficult, you know?
Yeah, well, you've always been really, really honest and truthful. And you've said, yeah, because yeah, the Lord is gracious to you, Cruz. Yeah. The Lord has favored you and you've worked hard. There's nothing special about it.
Yeah.
The Lord has opened the doors, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. What I'm thinking about right now is when Jesus and the disciples, I forgot what city they're in, man, but they're like performing these great works and a multitude gathers around him and begins to want to worship them. Mm. And the Lord Jesus rebukes the people, says, stop, you don't worship us. We're just servants doing what we should be doing, you know?
And I think that's something the Lord has always brought to our forefront. So he always reminds us, like, don't get it twisted. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me shining on you and you being available. And that's it.
Right. And I love that you bring that up, right? Because that's the sneakiness of an idol, right? An idol can take a really good thing. And really good thing can become really bad gods, right? Really good things can become really bad gods when I'm worshiping the God of influence and I'm worshiping the God of clout and I'm worshiping the God of self-aggrandization, right? Yes. Like where I'm making myself grand, the God of money, the God of materialism, right? Which at its core, money is not evil.
Right.
Right. At its core, nice things are not evil. Mm-hmm. But remember, an idol is a thing that you trust more, desire more, and obey more than you do the Lord, especially when it provides identity, security, and comfort.
Yeah. Right? I think one of the idols when I first got married, for me was
me.
Yeah. No, honestly.
Are you for real?
Yeah, it really was.
Talk to me about that.
It really was, but I didn't realize it for a really long time. Mm. I found my identity, in you because the church we came from was very, like, it was very misogynistic. So I, as women, we could only do certain things. So I was kind of like attached to you at
It wasn't very fun being a girl in the environment we grew up in.
And so I was just attached to you. And I, even when we left that, I felt like, okay, well, I'm really nothing without you. And I was just like, everywhere you were, like I was there. And I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what God called me for. And, like our interactions weren't great because I was depending on you for everything, for my emotions, for my stability, for my direction. And that's not your place.
Yeah. It's the idol of codependence.
I didn't even realize that that's what it was until I started looking back at it. And I'm like, oh shoot, like this has got to get fixed. You know?
Absolutely. I think, again, you can see the definition in codependence. It's crazy. I love that the Holy Spirit prompted you to bring it up. And thank you for being honest. And thank you for being vulnerable and open. You're usually very private about certain things, and I'm really, really proud of you and really grateful that you would bring that. No, I'm not being obnoxious.
No, no, no. I'm just saying there's no way it could be private because you talk about everything.
I don't talk about my wife was super clingy and codependent and insecure. I don't talk about it like that.
But I do think that that would help somebody, you know?
I just put Diana on blast. You were clingy and insecure and like I couldn't go anywhere and do anything. And you know, it's like I couldn't have friends and I couldn't sit with someone else at a dinner table because you'd be mad. And like, how come you don't talk to me? You're always talking to them. And why are you talking to her anyway? And
okay, it was just like, you know, there's a line.
Okay.
Always a line. And Cruz will always
Cruz. That's Pastor Cruz to you. Sister
always.
Diana. That's just
Pastor Cruz or Cruz. He will always cross the line.
No, I won't.
Always.
No way.
Anyway, that's what I dealt with.
I'm shook right now, bro.
You always cross the line.
All the time.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
When it's appropriate.
Okay. When you were more immature, yes, 100%. Now you're much better.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I'll take it. But I'm no, for real though, right? Like if you think about it, the idol of codependence, literally, you find your identity in someone else. Mm-hmm. You find your comfort in someone else other than God. You find your purpose in someone else other than God. You find security in someone else other than God. That's bananas, right? And where we ended up was Psalm 115 at Culture Night. And I was thinking about this today when I was working out. Because for some reason, I understand why. My endorphins are running and I just get a lot of clarity. And so I like some of my favorite moments to think while I'm working out.
Me too.
And I was thinking about Psalm 115, right? And so when I taught it at Culture Night, it was, man, like, you know, they have eyes, but they can't see. Mm-hmm. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, can't smell. They have mouths, can't speak. Mm-hmm. They have throats and there's no sound coming from them. Mm-hmm. And really where I focused was, man, you know, like that they're lifeless things in and of themselves. But where I wish I had focused more at Culture Night, I'm glad I get to do it on the pod, is this, where in, I think it's verse 8 or 9, and it says, those that follow them mm-hmm. become like them, mm-hmm. right? And
I thought,
lifeless, but to think about this, right? Like when you're codependent on someone, mm-hmm. you have eyes, but you don't see anything but what they see.
Yep.
So you have eyes, but don't see yourself. Mm-mm. You have a mouth, but no voice, mm-mm. right? You have a nose, but no sense mm-hmm. of your own, right? Like, you have, right? Like all of it. And you have hands, you have feet, but no sense of direction, no sense of purpose. And I just thought, oh my goodness, what happens is we become like them because we become bound mm-hmm. to these lifeless things that were never intended to give us identity, purpose, comfort, mm-hmm. or security in the mm-hmm. first place, right?
And now you're mad at the thing that you think you're supposed to give you life when they were never intended to give you life. And now you're stuck.
And here's what's crazy. Oh, this is a word for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. As you're watching, you're listening to this. This is a word. You're getting mad at the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. You're getting mad at a lifeless thing. You've heard me say this, like when I've stubbed my toe or something, mm-hmm. which we have these low chairs in our house. And, you know, I'm the last one to go to bed every night. And I would say one or two nights a week, I stub my shin or my toe on these low chairs, like those two chairs
Serious?
Yes. And
move on, buddy.
Why didn't I think of that? But you know, I have this feeling where I go, I literally have thought this recently. Mm-hmm. I go, God, I wish this chair was alive so I could hurt it.
That's
right?
So weird.
Which is crazy. Number one, I know that chair is there. I'm the one that keeps running into it.
Right.
Right. And as mad as I get at it, it's a lifeless, inanimate object. I'm the one who keeps choosing that path.
Yeah.
I'm the one who keeps choosing that direction. And I think what happens sometimes is we get angry at these idols mm-hmm. in our lives, these things that were never supposed to be there, but we enshrined them.
Yeah.
We prioritized them. We made them God, mm-hmm. right? And when inevitably they let us down, we want to be mad at them. And this is why you're never going to get the satisfaction being angry at the father that left you.
Right.
You're never going to get satisfaction at the boss who never promoted you. You're never going to get the satisfaction of being bitter. The satisfaction that you're looking for, this is what I mean.
Right.
You're not going to find it in the revenge or mm-hmm. the bitterness towards friends that betrayed you.
Right.
Right. Because the reason all of that hurt is because you put a disproportionate amount of trust, expectation, and faith in something that was never supposed to be a God thing in your life.
Right.
And the way we get this right side up is we release ourselves mm-hmm. and we release them. I think this is a good word. I didn't get a chance to say this at Audit Culture Night, mm-hmm. but you want to be free of an idol? Just say, you know what? You owe me nothing anymore.
Yeah.
You don't. What would happen today? The idol, like, oh my gosh, I don't know who you are, but I feel like I need to say it this way. Mm-hmm. There's an orphan spirit that has entered mm-hmm. your life. And what I mean by an orphan spirit, you don't know how to be a son or a daughter, okay. right? Because you're so angry at the mother or the father mm-hmm. that abandoned you or hurt you.
Yeah.
Right. I was just talking with, I was talking with one of my friends from South Texas, my friend from Harlingen. And he was talking about someone who left recently. I shouldn't be saying all that out loud, but anyway. And I just said, you know what, man, honestly, the way they did, it's an orphan spirit. They don't know how to be a son. And because they don't know how to be a son, they'll never appreciate covering and leadership and mm-hmm. being fathered. Right. Or, and so I think whoever this is, the way you get rid of that orphan spirit is you stop putting the absent father, the absent mother, the absent friends, the things that let you down in a place that only God can fill.
Yeah.
And you come and you say, Lord, I'm not sure how to do this, but I need to get my life right side up. Yeah. I need to find my place in your wise and loving design. Mm-hmm. And your design was never for that person, that place, that thing, that job, that boyfriend, et cetera. That was never supposed to fulfill me.
Yeah.
I'm upside down. I need to get right side up. Teach me, Holy Spirit, how to find fulfillment in my Heavenly Father. Teach me how to find contentment and teach me how to find joy in my proper place aligned with the Lord. Does that make sense?
And that's, I really believe that you're speaking to somebody, because even this week I was speaking to two people that were angry at God because their mother, father left them too soon. And I do believe this is a word of healing for somebody. But then also letting them know, like, when you do look in the mirror and realize that, okay, I need to turn to my Heavenly Father, like, it's going to be a fight. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to get up from the crying, get up from the tantrum and say, okay, Holy Spirit, okay, Father, I surrender myself to you. And this is how it's going to be. So it's not going to be overnight, but I do believe that the surrender that you even show him is going to lift something off of you.
Yeah.
Even that simple step.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, as we're just closing our time with you, I really want to go back to, I'm super spiritual. I brought a Bible. This is the first time like in a year that I bring the Bible on the pod. But there's our Culture Night message ended with 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 17. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. Watch this. So Paul is saying to the King of ages, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, honor forever and ever. And so what's he doing? He's submitting himself, getting himself right side up, submitting himself to the kingship of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But watch this. Verse 15, I love verse 15. It starts at verse 15. He says, this is a faithful and trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance and approval, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost. Mm-hmm. Right? So I said this at Culture Night. I'm just going to reiterate here. How do I get myself right side up? Number one, I recognize I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we only recognize I'm a sinner and I need a savior in the quote unquote moment of salvation. Mm-hmm. Watch. We're all sinners mm-hmm. all the time. Romans 3:23, go.
We fall short of his glory.
We all fall short of the glory of God. James 4:7 says this. Hold on, let me go fact check myself. Actually, Kevin, will you fact check me? James 4:7, that sin is in him who knows to do the right thing.
Does
not do it. I just want to make sure I'm quoting the right thing to our community and not making stuff up.
What did you say, James 4?
James 4:7.
No, so submit to the authority of God, resist the devil.
Oh, my fault. Mm-hmm. James 4:17, my bad. James 4:17, add 10 verses to it. So any person who knows what is right to do, but does not do it, to him it is sin, right?
That is so plain.
Let's make it plain.
That is always jarring and convicting.
Right. It's not like to the guy who got caught up and fornicated, no, to the guy who got to the girl who got caught up and got high. It's not to like the one who's cheating on his taxes this tax season, right? It's like, do you know the right thing to do?
And you didn't do it? Yeah. That's all of us at any time.
Right. All of us.
All day. Now, every day.
We all fall short of the glory of God. But yeah. the beauty is that he gives his glory, right? Mm-hmm. So the trustworthy statement is not this, that you're a sinner. The trustworthy statement is that Jesus came for sinners. So what is that? He's saying, listen, your sin leaves you in an upside down state.
Yeah.
That's why I came, to get you right side up. And one of the things we said was, the way you get your life right side up, number one, recognize the only way right side up is Jesus.
So you need a savior.
And I'm part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Sin broke the world. I'm not an exception.
Yeah.
I am not the exception to the problem, right? So then 1 Timothy goes on to say, verse 16, yet for this reason I found mercy. So the problem is sin. Jesus is the answer. I found mercy so that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example or pattern for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Mm-hmm. It's a mouthful. I love the word mercy there. What Paul is writing when he says, hey, I found mercy in Jesus and in the message of Jesus, what he's saying is, hey, I'm giving you beneficial and loving, gentle treatment. Mm. I'm giving you something. And he does it on the inside. Mercy's for the inside. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the answer and Jesus is the way.
Amen.
Right? And so the problem is sin. That's how I ended upside down.
Right?
Jesus came. He's the answer. He does good for me. And the very last verse, verse 17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Right? What's he saying? Now that Jesus has come to be the answer, he set me right side up. Verse 16, mm-hmm. verse 17 says, now I live knowing Jesus is King. What does that mean? Jesus is King. I put Jesus in his proper place, which is the number one spot, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the number one stunner. Come on, New Orleans, holla at me, Andrew. You know what that is. Cash money, baby. Let's go.
Cash money.
Help us, Jesus, please. Now to the King, right? So what am I doing? I'm putting him in the number one spot. I'm putting Jesus in his right place. Watch. And I'm putting myself in the proper place by recognizing you're the King, eternal, you're immortal. What does that mean? Your kingship has been forever, will be forever. It will never die. And my life is to give you glory forever and ever. Amen. So watch, hold on. I didn't even get to say this at Culture Night. I've got like four more messages from Culture Night, right? In me, that word amen literally means I agree with this.
It is so for my life.
It is so for my life. It's not just amen, the end of the chapter.
No.
It's, I agree. Okay, I agree.
I'm in alignment.
Amen. So you want to get yourself right side up? Mm-hmm. Write those three or four things down. Number one, sin is the problem. The world is broken. So am I. I'm part of the problem. Number two, verse 16, Jesus is the answer to the problem. Number three, Jesus is King. Amen. I let it be so for my life.
Amen.
So if you want to live right side up, don't just know that that's the truth. Say amen to that truth.
Bow down to the God of the throne.
Amen. Bow and what happens? What happens? John chapter 8, what happens? And you will know the truth, and the truth will what?
Set you free.
Put you right side up, baby girl. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Right side up.
Right side.
That's a good conversation. Let's get right side up this year.
Yes, sir.
I need you to get right side up, babe.
You too.
I will. I love y'all. Hey, I think that was a good conversation. Let us know what you thought. Right side up, live Jesus as King forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And every time you receive communion and every time we receive communion, I thought that was cool at Culture Night when we did communion, we just like, hey man, to the King.
To the King.
To the King, man. To the King. We're toasting this to the King, man. Why? Because he gets all the glory, all the honor. Amen and amen. I'm so excited about this message and this direction for our young adults. Yeah. I'm excited to see lives get right side up, careers get right side up, purpose get right side up, relationships get right side up.
Amen.
It's going to be unbelievable. Hey, by the way, speaking of relationships right side up, do not miss Culture Night, February 13th, 7:30 p.m.
7:30 people showed up.
I love it, man.
I love it.
7:30 p.m., Culture Night, East Side Church. We have a great night planned for you. If you're just like, hey, Jesus is my boo, come to church. If you're single, ready to mingle, come to church. If it's complicated, come to church. If it's a situationship, come to church. Let's go. We'll get you right side up. It's going to be an unbelievable night. Hey, also circles will help you get right side up. Right?
Join a circle. The right circle will change your life.
It'll put it right side up, man. My life changed when my circle changed, for real, when I was a young adult. So we have 11 circles around the city?
About 10.
Okay. We have circles around the city. Circles are small groups of Prime Culture. We gather for Bible study. We study sermon. We study, you know, it's sermon driven based Bible studies, community happening, great life-giving relationships.
Hangs and eats.
Hangs and eating. It's Acts 2:42. Go read it when you get a chance. And they committed themselves to prayer, to sharing and breaking of bread at tables in each other's houses, and studying the apostles' teachings. And so circles will change your life. If you're lonely, if you need direction, if you need a new set of friends, you need to be in a circle, fam. So get in a circle. Shout out to everybody who's watching this because you're getting ready for your circle. Let's go, man. Love y'all so much. Anything else? I think you should be serving at Prime Culture. Also, get that right side up.
Yeah, go get your app. We want to see you,
Andrew,
on team.
Can we link all of that in the description of the video on YouTube? If you're listening to this on Apple Pod and Spotify, go to YouTube and check the description of the video. We'll have our serving link on there. We'll have our circles directory link on there. And also, hey, watch me, Andrew. Here we go. You ready?
Watch me.
The message from Culture Night for Right Side Up that kicked off the year right here on one of these sides. It'll be right here somewhere. Go watch it. It'll help you. It'll bless you. Until next time, fam.
See you.
We love y'all, fam. For real, for real. Thanks for letting us be in your ear. Thank you for being in our lives. We love you guys. Can't wait to see you soon. Peace.